music.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Strange Music Podcast. My name is Jeff Nelson. I hope everyone's having a good week so far. Hope everyone's beating that heat out there. If you're not, it's about to get a whole lot better because today we have Recognized from Mayday on the air. Mayday has a brand new EP that drops August 7th, and that is called Thrift Store Halos, which is available now for pre-order at strangemusicinc.net. If you haven't pre-ordered yet, make sure you go to strangemusicinc.net and do so. This EP features Desk Crew, Brother Lynch Hung of Strange Music, and of course, Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Right now, we are waiting for Recognize, and, without exception, the rappers are on rapper time, which means, you always got to take a few minutes. But this EP should, I don't know how many songs are on it exactly, but it should be another one of those dope little slices of goodness that you can expect from Strange Music EP release. I'm sure some of you obviously remember Clusterfuck earlier this year. And last year we had Cut Calhoun with Redheaded Stepchild and Chris Calico with SIC. And all of these projects, great in their own right, just shorter than a regular album. So if you want that bit of music that no one else is hip on, I suggest you go to strangemusicinc.net and get that EP. We're also going to be talking about the tour that he just got off of, the Hostile Takeover 2012, one of the craziest tours I think any of us can think about. Actually, I think we have Rec right here. Rec, are you there? Recognize. Okay. All right. I guess we don't. Hold on one second. All right. Not the right number. Okay. Give me a few seconds. Pretty soon here, we'll take some callers and ask you guys what you think about what. Oh, looks like we got Recognized right here, actually. Rec.
Yeah.
Yo, what's going on? How you doing?
What up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for showing up. I appreciate it.
Come on now.
I'm sorry, I'm jabbing you a little bit, but it's part of the deal. Everyone on Strange has a lot to do at all times, and rappers are always fashionably late. That is a prerequisite of getting into the rap game if anyone wants to know secrets to success.
Yeah, that's true. Luckily for you, I have British blood, so a lot of times we're pretty on schedule. So I got an internal battle between my British roots and my MC career to be on time,
man.
Be late. So, luckily today.
That's the tension
right.
You have to pull from to put in your songs then.
It's an everyday struggle, man.
That's great. Well, that's an everlasting well of material for you. So, damn. It all makes sense now. Well, it's good to have you on. And, hey, everyone out there, if you want to call in and ask Rec some questions or give him a shout-out, call 347-994-3066. Press 1 so we can screen your call. So, first question, Rec, man. Just how you doing, man? How are things?
I'm good, man. Life is good right now. We just moved into our new studio space in Miami, so we're getting set up. We're rebuilding the new vibe, which will pretty much carry us through the next album. It's a great spot, and we're just kind of setting up and organizing for the next strike, the next wave, and then on top of that, the EP is already done and ready to go, so we're prepping for that to be released. And yeah, man, just working hard, but everything's good.
Good. And yeah, you pretty much touched on two things I definitely want to touch on here. But first off, you just got back maybe a week or two ago from probably one of the most grueling tours ever in music, maybe. How did you feel once you got back home?
Dude, it was it's kind of weird. The first couple of days were very oh, man, so relieved to be back. But then the minute you the minute a few days go by and you get to get your bearings, you kind of feel weird, you should be doing something. I'm like, wait, there should be a meet and greet or a sound check or a show, something's supposed to be happening right now. So it's weird. It's nice and you feel relaxed at first, but it doesn't take very long for the feeling of like you feel like you're running idle for a second, and it kind of throws you off. So then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I should probably. We said we were going to take a week off, and when we got back, and that didn't last at all. Like me and Vern were on the phone, and everyone was trying to link up like 2 days later. So.
Right. Yeah. I was wondering that. Like when you're on the plane ride home, you're probably like, hey, I'm just going to take a whole week and just kick it. But it was only a few days, huh? Until you were like, man, what's the next move?
Yeah, we couldn't really hold off a full week. It was only like we were there. We got back on Saturday, and then Sunday and Monday came, and like mid Monday, I could hear everyone kind of like hitting each other up and being like, "What's the drill?" You know, like what do we do now? Basically.
awesome. Well, so what did you do those few days that you had off? What did you do?
Dude, I ate great food and I kept drinking because I promised myself I wouldn't detox right away, and. And, yeah, I just relaxed, man. That shit, really, to be completely honest with you. I caught up on Breaking Bad and watched TV, and that's about it, dude. I really didn't do shit. I didn't move a lot for a couple of days.
Right. Well, that's probably what the doctor would prescribe, I'm sure. When you look back on this tour, everything that you guys have done, I mean, such a great accomplishment. How do you feel looking back on it?
It's dope, man. It feels so much bigger than the last tour, even though the last tour was 68 shows and that shit was massive. So it's like a huge sense of accomplishment, man. Like, yeah, we made it through without killing each other. We made it through without anybody having any serious mishaps, and played every show, and it feels good because it was tough on everybody, man, from every artist to crew. So I'm pretty sure, like, everybody in the strange offices during that time, man, it's stressful because it's so many things that could go wrong. And so when you're out for so long, it's just like, you know, it's tricky to make it through without mishaps. So luckily we were able to successfully complete the whole tour and do it with smiles on our faces, you know?
That is, I think there is a lot to be said for that. One of the keys to being a successful band, I think, half the battle is just being able to stay together, you know, and this point, not only is it just a band, but it's like, you know, 20, 30 people out on tour. I mean, you're all married to each other, basically.
Yeah, in so many ways. And each bus has got like 10, 11 people on it. So like already like keeping six people in a band is already a mission. Like, you know, without everyone wanting to like, you know, go to fisticuffs every now and again. But then on top of that, add in five or six other people, and you're getting up to like 10, 11, 12 people on a bus, and it can be really tricky to be in a small space for that long and under the stress of putting a show on almost every day without wanting to explode. So luckily, you know, for the most part, there was definitely like over the 3.5 months that we ran into some tough times, and in the beginning of this tour, for some reason it was more stressful in like the first 2 weeks of this tour than the whole last tour. I don't really know why that was, because we already knew what the drill was. We'd already been through the ringer with Strange once on the road. So I was really, like, confused as to why we were so stressed. But those first few weeks were hella stressful for us. But yeah, like I said, we made it through. So gold medal for that.
First few weeks, you know, that reminds me that Stevie Stone, that camp, they got you guys. Did you ever get a chance to get them back? Or are you just going to serve that revenge dish,
man,
even colder?
It's like ice cold at this point, but yeah, we had what was hilarious is that we had people in meet and greet coming up to us and be like, yo, what's up with the prank, or like, so it was like a constant reminder that we hadn't struck back yet. Like somebody even brought us in one of the meet and greets, they brought us coffee filters. Like it was just like a constant, everywhere I looked I was getting tormented by it. But there was like a premature strike where one night Scenario and Gio went over to their bus, and they like, you know, there was something going on with water guns and a little something like that, but it didn't really, and they tried to film it, but the footage didn't come out that good. So I was like, man, that just can't be our strike back. It just, like, we all had a laugh about it, but I was like, nah, that can't be the video strike back. So we didn't jump on that, and then we never really got around to like doing any of the plans that we had. So I guess I'm gonna have to just ice that dish and hold on to it for the next tour.
Yeah, then it's going to be extra cold. You know, they're going to be like, damn, you still remember that? Okay, you know.
I definitely won't forget, and there's got to be some retribution at some point, but I'll count to Monte Cristo that shit and just hold on to it for 5 years.
Definitely. if they now looking back on this tour, if there's one thing that you took from it, maybe a lesson or just something to remember from all of that, just basically, what did you learn from this tour? What did you take from it?
Oh man, that's a great question. What did I learn from this tour? I guess I'm a pretty patient person, but I guess like, dude, it just goes to show you how far patience can go, because it's so stressful and everyone's under such duress that I think just to hold on to your sanity, you got to be extremely patient. So if I didn't already know that and I wasn't already exercising extreme patience, I would say that this tour will teach you that, man, we just when there's so many working parts and so many people around, that just to keep your sanity and not look like an asshole, you gotta be extremely patient.
Knowing what you know now and how everything was, would you, if you could go back and do this over again, would you do it?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like, not a question. It was, even at its most stressful point, it was still, like, the most fun I've ever had, and we had a blast, and just, like, it's like a feeling of touring for so long, and the camaraderie between everybody at its highest points that are just, like, it's hard to explain. And, I like, to be completely honest, we had, since two of the shows got canceled near the end, we had 4 days off in a row in Nashville, and after we had those days off, I could have easily gone for another month. I was like, dude, we were coming home. I was like, man, I'm not crazy dying to stop doing shows. Like, I could go for another, like, at least month or 3 weeks or a month. So I think it was more just about, like, the frequency of how many days in a row we were doing shows that was beating us down, not really the length of time that we were out. So I would do it. I would definitely do it again, and I could have definitely gone for a little bit longer if we had to. So maybe we'll break our own record at some point.
I think from all those sentiments from the outside looking in, when we're like, oh man, these guys, poor guys or whatever, we have to remember that this is every artist's probably dream, to be able to entertain as a job for that long, and to see so much of the country. I mean, is it not?
100%. I try to shut it down a couple times if we got to the point where we were like, oh, or somebody was feeling groggy or not feeling the vibe, because yeah, sometimes you need to be reminded that, yo, like we bled to be here, like we wanted to be here more than anything, and there's people that would kill to be here. So you have to, you know, you have to keep that in mind just to make sure that you don't take it for granted.
Definitely, definitely. Well, on that note, let's take a few calls from the fans out there. And I know we have a lot of fans listening on the lines. If you guys want to talk to Rec, make sure you press 1 so we can screen your call, get your question, and allow you to get your shout-out out there. Let's get to I know I saw a really good question here before. Oh, all right. Let's get to Timothy from Springfield. You're on the line. We recognize.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, brother? How you living?
Man, I tell you what, I'm living a lot better after that show in Springfield, the last show on the tour, man. We had a blast.
Oh, man, I'm glad, dude.
My question is, I noticed with a couple of the other artists, I won't say no names because that's not the point, but you guys didn't have as much of a problem with energy as some of the other artists had. Do you feel like doing that many shows in one small amount of time kind of brought the level of energy in every show down a little bit?
I wouldn't say it was the length of the tour. I would say that more than anything, the first and foremost thing is sometimes the energy of a certain crowd might be a little less than the night before, the couple nights before. So when we encountered like where the energy wasn't as good, or maybe the sound in that club wasn't as good, those things tend to subconsciously like bring you down a little bit, where you don't really realize that you're not as hype, but you really, you know, there's like a left, if the crowd's not super hype and the whole club's not going off, then you feel kind of weird being like the hypest person in the building, you know, whether or not you're on stage. So I don't know. I would say that tends to be the first thing that I think of might have an effect on energy for anybody on stage. It's just maybe the surroundings aren't as hype as they should be or as they could be. But I don't know if the length, because between every show, we get a good amount of time to just kind of sleep, rest up, and then we do meet, greet, and we get another little break. So most of the time, by the time we hit the stage, we're pretty well rested. But I know some people have sleep problems. So yeah, it could definitely have to do with you know, the schedule. But I would say above scheduling, it's got to be something to do more what the actual vibe of the club and the crowd is.
That's what's up, man. I definitely appreciate the answer, man. You guys definitely give 110% in Springfield, man. We definitely appreciate that.
We had a blast, man. It was a great place to end the tour, so appreciate you coming out.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
All right. All right, thanks for calling, Timothy. Let's get to I got a quick follow-up. If you're feeling down and crappy sometimes, does it just take that energy to lift you up and pull you out if it's there?
Well, yeah, for sure. That okay. There's nothing like there's no like cure-all better than the adrenaline rush you get from crossing that line to get on stage. Like I've literally had to like throw up or felt like I had food poisoning or just felt like shit. And then the moment that you cross that line and you start to show, I've felt like it's been completely wiped away. So there's definitely,
wow,
like I've never had a feeling taken away so quickly than when I step on stage. So that's definitely,
awesome.
That can cure anything, no matter how the surroundings are.
Dope. Let's get to Scott from Jersey. You're on the line with Recognize.
Yeah, what up, Recognize?
What up, Scott? Jersey in the house.
Word. Yeah, I just want to show you mad love. I love All Strange Music. I just started listening to you after you performed with Tech N9ne in Jersey. You went to Starland Ballroom.
Yeah.
I just have one quick question. All right. I'm trying to come up, you know, from the underground because I have this band called 2-6 Souls. Is there any advice you give us for helping us out?
I would just say it's really continuity. You got to keep continuity, longevity. You got to really stay in as long as you can, stay in the game. Like a lot of people that you think may have just come up overnight, most of the time they've been in the game and they've been grinding for years. So I would say you really got to stay at it. And then on top of that, just try to be as independent as possible. Like the days of going out and doing the demo and like slanging it to record labels is dead. So it's really now about you have to build your own buzz and create your own, you know, your own following before you can even get their attention these days. So it would just really be about make sure you can keep everything as in-house as possible.
All right. Good question, Scott. Let's get to Anthony from Casey Moe. You're on the line with Rec.
What's up, Recognize?
What's up, Anthony? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Man, I just wanted to tell you, if it wasn't for you guys' music, I probably wouldn't go on with my life. Man, I was on the download, and just felt like no one gave a fuck about me. But the second I started listening to you guys' music, it just touched me really good. And you guys gave me strength to go on, and now my life's been doing good. I finally got a job, and I finally just got out of the hood. And if it wasn't for your music, I'd probably just be out and dead. No one gave a fuck about me, so I just want to say thank you.
Oh, dude, we appreciate that, man. Thank you for listening, man. I'm pretty sure that all of us, everybody in our crew, has had that same feeling from music we listen to or somebody, an artist that had an effect on us. So that's like a high compliment, man. I don't take that lightly. I appreciate that, brother.
You're welcome, man. I just want to put a shout out to all my boys in KC. You know what's up.
Yeah.
I'll hit you guys up. I know you guys are supposed to be coming to Kansas City or something, like August something.
Yeah, we're hoping to make it back there as soon as possible, man.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Can't wait you guys to get down here because I'm waiting to see you guys again.
Good shit, brother. All right. I'm glad everything's going good for you, man. Be easy.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Peace out.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Oh, yeah. And, you know, that reminds me, anyone out there want to see Tech in the hometown? We got the show KC Crossroads coming up, and that is on August, I believe, 25th at Crossroads. Go to strangemusicinc.net. Get your tickets and your VIP passes right now. Right now, though, we are on the line with Recognize of Mayday. Their EP is up for pre-order right now at strangemusicinc.net, and that is called Thrift Store Halos. We're about to talk about that real quick. If anyone is on the line, call 347 or press 1 so we can take your call. If you're listening on the internet, call 347-994-3066, press 1. So you can talk to Recognize. So we're talking about Thrift Store Halos, this EP that's coming up. How many songs are on this EP?
It's 7 tracks.
7 tracks. Dope, man.
Yeah.
So we got half an album's worth here. And from what I understand, these are songs that were created during the making of Take Me to Your Leader. Now, you know, a lot of times people will put things out like this, and, you know, it means that the songs, you know, might not have been good enough to make the first album, but I don't think this is the case here. Why didn't these songs make the first album?
Well, we did. Or the album. We did so many for that because we were so ahead of schedule for when we turned in our first batch that we basically had enough time to create a second batch. But by the time that we were done, we had like 40, I'm gonna say like 45 cuts or some shit like that. To the point where when Tech first heard the batches, he hit us up to be like, "Yo, there's two albums here. Like, what the fuck's going on?" Like, we're just like, "Yo, we had time. We just knocked out as many as we could." So we had a bunch, and when it came, like, it was good because we had a shitload of material, but it was bad because when we came down to start, like, sacrificing and whittling out one album out of all those tracks, everybody had different votes. So, like, everybody had lost a couple battles, won a couple battles, and the remainder of those tracks, you know, we might have had about 10 or 11 left in total, but the remainder of those tracks that we felt strongly about, we wanted to craft into an EP. And then two of them have already been, like, soft released. The Dell track, which is The Ride, that one we had released already, but it's been remixed. So Ben from Chapman jumped on that one and knocked that out. And then the other one was Strange March, and that was originally a Death March remix that was just for going to be for promo for the album. But it turned into, like, such a different kind of track when we got Sus Crew on it, we got Brother Lynch Hung on it. And it just kind of took a life of its own to the point where we were just like, dude, we don't want it to just be a promo track. So we wanted to include that in the project as well. So those are the only two that people might have heard before that have been released. And the other five are unreleased completely.
I can imagine that, you know, picking songs for the album in that scenario must have been very tough. I mean, if you ever look at, like, songs, it's like your babies. And then you have a lifeboat or something that can only fit 15 people on it,
but you
got to leave some loved ones left behind. I mean, did it ever feel like that?
Oh no, for sure. We literally have said those exact words of, "Oh, it's time to sacrifice some babies," because everybody's got their favorites, everybody's got their joints, and that every time we come down to that, like, album cut process, it's always about that. Like, here we go, I'm gonna sacrifice some babies, like, because it always, like, there's one track on the EP in particular that I was fighting for heavily, and I lost. I lost out on that vote. Very, like, democratic when it comes to the voting process. But I didn't have the backing, and then I had to kind of make a sacrifice on one of those joints. So that's why I'm definitely, there's a track in particular on this EP that is personal to me that I really enjoy. So that's cool about getting to turn around and do a project session.
Yeah, for sure. What's the name of that track?
It's called Letter to the Lost.
I was
hoping it was going
to
make the album, and then, yeah, I got outvoted. And then when it came down to the final track listing negotiations, I didn't have firepower to compete with the other arguments. So it's cool. But it made this project, and it fits really good into this batch of songs. So that's why I try not to stress the track listing stuff too much, because I'm one of those, like, it always happens for a reason kind of people with those things. I'm like, yeah, the song didn't make the album, but when I hear it amongst the EP now, it feels like it was meant for this project as opposed to the album. So.
All right. Glad it all worked out. But going back to that real quick, what are some, when you pick songs for your major release, what are some things that you need to take into consideration? Because I'm sure there's plenty of factors.
Oh, 100. There's just the variety of the album, the way the album's going to ride. Sometimes the features that we already have in place on some of these joints. And then, like, I broke down, we got scientific for taking your leader. I broke down all the tempos, all the key signatures of each song, structure. Like, it's just, you can get real scientific with it if you go down to the details. So there's a multitude of things on each song that would either rule it out or make it, you know, make it a check mark in the column. So it's definitely those are some of the things I would say right off the top of my head.
Looking back on the album, because it's been out for maybe like 4 or 5 months, how do you feel about it? I mean, I know, you know, you probably don't listen to it as much as you might have when it first came out. But the last time you've been listening to it, when you look back on it, how do you feel about the album? Does it still stand up to you personally?
Yeah, hell yeah. There's still, like, still cuts that I have that I love to hear. And then because we were on the road and we weren't listening to the album as much, and then we were doing only specific songs, there's other songs that have become like a little foreign to me. So when I got back, I ran the album a couple of times to just get re-familiar with it, and I feel like overall I'm still real proud of it as a project, and then more than anything, the people that still hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, or wherever that are telling us about the album or just discovering it helps me feel confident in like, oh yeah, like the project is good and it still stands because there are still people discovering it. We still have a lot more people to spread to, and then on top of that, the feedback is still coming in positive, so that also helps to reassure us that, all right, yeah, we put out a good album.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes things, they change over time, and you can't really explain it, you know, maybe it just dates or whatever, but you feel like this one is still solid and fresh and all of that.
There's a Devil on My Mind is one of the tracks that in the voting process, I wasn't like really fully behind something about it. I wasn't really pulling for that one, and I was up against Gianni was really going hard for that. Plex was going for it. Noms was also going really hard for it. So that's a song that whenever I hear the album now, I listen back to it to be like, oh, well, you know, obviously people have already hit us up telling us they love it. So I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of lost that battle, you know. And once I heard it mixed, that helped me a lot too. The rough mix of it, I wasn't. Something about it was sticking out to me, and then when Ben got his hands on it and it came back mixed and mastered, I definitely felt like I appreciated it more. So now when I hear the album, that's one of the tracks that I always go to be like, yeah, like, all right, cool. Like, I lost that battle, and I'm, like, happy that I did because I like the track. So there's definitely, like, ones that I'll listen out for when I'm re-going through the album that I got to just be, you know, reassuring myself of.
Dope. Yeah, and shout out to Ben. Engineers are definitely like the unsung heroes in this in the record making process for sure.
100%.
Does he provide, what does he do to your guys' music? I mean, that's good for
what
you.
What I like about him, well, you when you work with certain engineers, sometimes there's engineers that take a little too much liberty with the music. They'll go in and they'll change things, or they start to almost produce. They like cross the line and they start doing production and arrangement on it, which is cool sometimes for certain artists because they're not super hands-on, but for us, because we're so like detail oriented with everything and we hit it up from every corner before it goes out, we don't really like too much to be changed in terms of arrangement and effects and stuff like that. So what's dope about Ben is he's really good at bringing out the low end and making the track notch. He's really good at leveling out everything for us that we may have a little off, and he's good at bringing the harmonies and stuff out that I normally wouldn't. I mix, I'll tuck my highs under a lot of times because I'm real like subconscious about them. Whereas Ben brings them out and tunes them perfectly, so it fits really well. So he does all that and balances out the track, so it just comes out sounding way more whole. And then he does all that without, you know, really messing around with any of the shit that we don't want moved, which is cool because sometimes you have to go through that. You have to have that talk with the mix engineer every now and again. But he never has that problem.
He's smart enough to know when to get out of the way, and he's just bringing out what you guys. He's fleshing out what was already there, basically.
100%. Yeah, he's really good at bringing out like the stuff that we have that maybe we're not really like mixing up well, like high enough where it needs to be brought out more, and he puts a really dope, rounded out sound to the music, which was just a joy. He's like a real joy to work with. That was definitely, I was looking forward to working with him just from knowing Tech's catalog and knowing how good it sounds and how hard it bumps. So I was looking forward, we were already hyped to work with him, and then he delivered because working on him with the album and then now the EP too has been like so seamless. It's been probably one of the most painless mix experiences I've ever had.
Ah, well, that's great. What are some of the things we can expect to hear on this EP that we weren't able to get on the album? I mean, obviously, the songs are different, but are there any motifs or styles or anything like that that you're able to have a little more liberty with on this EP?
I want to say it's overall, it's a little more chill. Like, I know a lot of people say already we have a lot of chill shit on our album, but I want to say, like, overall, like, people say, like, the term I always love is, like, the smoke-out music. Oh, that's some smoke-out music. I always fuck with that. I always love that because that just means it's something that you can coast with and chill, put on and burn one through or whatever. It's just, like, a certain grade of music that I highly appreciate. So I think that this is like a really good album in terms of it's very even keel. It's a really good smoke out album. That's the best way to describe it. So we were able to with these tracks that were left over, slow it down a little bit and it gets a little vibier in terms of because it's so short, you know, it's so much shorter. Whereas like we do have a couple of up-tempo tracks, but the majority of it is definitely way more chill and introspective, and I like the way it came out.
Dope. Well, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that then. And now you guys are also, you just said you're setting up, actually, before that, are there any personal highlights on the EP? I know you were talking about Letter to the Lost. Any other highlights personally for the EP, those moments that you're just like, ah, that's my shit?
Strange Marks really, like, kills for me just because of features that are on there. Like, Sus Crew are incredible. Like, they kill their verses. They go back and forth. They do, eight bars and eight bars twice, and they killed it. And then Lynch came through and killed it as well. And I just like the whole different direction that song took. You know, it was supposed to be just a remix, and I ended up growing into such a track. So that's definitely one of my favorites. Letter to the Lost is a personal favorite of mine. And there's another track on there called Amnesia that I at the moment is one of my favorites. But I switch because there's only seven. So when I play it, I'm still kind of, and now that we just got the master back literally today, I'm still like teetering on what my favorites are. But like if you're talking to me right now, right this second, then Amnesia is probably another highlight for me.
That's cool. But it could change any day depending on what mood you're in, I'm sure.
Yeah. Now it's like raining outside of Miami. It's like overcast as all hell, and it's like it's tore up. So maybe that just has something to do with my mood. Tomorrow it'll be like sunny as hell. And then I'll be like, oh, I like the other song better. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know.
I know you guys are moving into a new studio. Now that you have that set up, are you guys looking to put it to use very soon?
Yeah. The studio's already up and running. And we're just kind of, you know, putting the access on it now. And then Noms was out of town. He was in L.A., so he just got back. So we're trying to gather everyone together now and start working on the rehearsal stuff because we're planning a homecoming show in Miami, hopefully for sometime in August, and then like a big homecoming blowout. And then we just kind of just rehearsing for the next time we go out on the road. We're not 100% sure when that's going to be yet, but we're just, you know, starting to get it ready. But yeah, the studio is already up and running, and then I got a few freestyles I want to knock out and just to help promote the EP, and then the recording will start. It only take Plex and Geo like a couple of, literally a week to get acclimated here, and then I'm sure we'll have some new batches of beats for me and Brent to go through.
You guys are doing a homecoming show. Now, have you guys gotten a lot of love from Miami, or is it even on their radar that you guys are, you know, around the country touring, you got an album out across the world? How's the response been from your hometown?
We have a really good like foundation of support in Miami. It took us a long time to get it. That's what the problem was. And just not the problem, but I mean, problem for us and difference for a lot of other places is that a lot of other cities are quicker on a massive scale to embrace some of their local talent, whereas Miami's tricky because everyone's imported and it's a very southern sound here. Obviously, we come from a different angle, so it's a little tricky. It took us a little longer to get hometown support, but what is cool about Miami is that there's a very, like, tightly knit, like, local artist community, so we've been fully embraced by that, and I feel like we get a lot of love from all the local press here, and I get more, like, every time that we go out and do a tour, I've come back and felt a little bit more, and then releasing this album, I feel like, helped. We were unloading our equipment yesterday, and the mailman at that building where we were getting our gear stopped by in the mail truck, and he was like, hey, you playing Mayday? Because he saw the stickers, I guess, or whatever, and I was like, yeah, and he was like, he's like, that's crazy, I've read a couple articles about you guys, I'm hella interested to check out the album, and you could tell that, like, there's, the level has been increased of, like, our awareness in our own city, so that's cool to watch.
Definitely, definitely, must feel good, and some people who definitely appreciate you. We got some fans on the line right now. Let's talk to a few of them. We got Commotion from Denver, Colorado. You're on the line with Recognize.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What up, brother? How you living?
Pretty good, man. Hey, sure, coming out here from Denver. I just want to let you know that I saw you at the Fillmore on May 18th, and I gotta tell you, man, you put it down. All is Strange, put it down. But my question is while you were out here in Denver, I know Burns saw it, Gottemus and the UBI saw it, and I tried to give it to Tech, but I just want to know if he had gotten it or if you know. I made a custom-made Strange music, and I've never seen it on any of the tours anywhere else, so I was wondering if maybe you had caught a glimpse of it or maybe if you had heard about it.
What did you say it was, a custom what?
A custom-made tie.
Oh, a tie, a custom tie. Damn, you know, I seen Tech with a tie that he said was custom. I don't really remember where he said he got it, though. Like, I definitely remember seeing him with a tie that he said someone had hooked him up with, but I don't know if that was yours, man, to be completely honest, because I don't really remember. It's such a haze to try and remember what places we were in, but I did catch a glimpse of him with a custom tie, but I can't verify for sure if it was yours, you know?
Right on, man. I appreciate the love, though. But I want to tell you, mad shout out. Keep the hard shit coming, bro. And next time you guys come to Denver, I'm going to have a tie for all the members of Strange, all of Mayday, you, Tech, everybody again. And I just wanted to grab y'all attention that way because I ain't never seen it done that way.
We appreciate that, man. That's dope, man. Denver is one of the most fun places to play on a tour. So we always look forward to that show.
Yeah. Right on, man. Keep it Strange.
Much love, brother.
All right, thanks for calling in, Commotion. Let's get to Jesse from Illinois.
Yeah, what up?
What up, how you living?
Living good, man. Trying to live through this heat right now, though.
I hear you.
I actually got two quick questions for you.
Cool.
One, what are you looking forward to most? Like, out of everything, the most on Thrift Store Halos.
In terms of which, like, what song or what feature? Or
like,
just mean, like, a record?
Your feature, feature, anything.
I think there's one of the songs that I was talking about earlier. It's called Amnesia. Like, if I had a personal favorite for the verses that I did for the EP, that at the moment is one of my favorites. So I would just, whenever I have a verse that I dig, like, to that level or I feel like it's a personal favorite of mine, I always get hyped to have people hear it, so. I guess when people hear that verse, I really like that verse a lot, so I'll be interested to see if people agree or maybe I just happen to feel that for some other reason.
Got you. And my second question is, at any time in the near or further future, are you going to come up with a solo album?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, we want to break off. Like, I've always done solo shit before I got a Mayday anyway, so I definitely... I've talked with Strange about it, and we want to try and arrange it to see when a good time will be. And I definitely want to drop a solo album, and I want to try and do a. I had a mixtape series that I had two tapes in. One was called Waiting Room, and another one was called Elevator Music. So I want to do a third. Like, I've always wanted to do a final chapter of that series. So I'm gonna try and knock that out and get that done before the end of the year. But I think there's gonna be solo projects from a bunch of us in Mayday just breaking off and doing some separate things. But the timeline on that, it'll probably be sometime hopefully next year. But I don't know when, but it's a definite though.
I'll be looking forward to that, and I'm also looking forward to next time y'all are in Chicago.
Oh hell yeah, we had a blast out there this year, man.
Oh man.
All right, man. That's it.
Much love, man. Appreciate you calling.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Jesse. Let's get to Chris from Fort Lauderdale. You're on the line with Recognize.
What's up, Recognize?
What's up, home team? How you living?
I'm trying to live through this fucking rain right now.
Yeah, it's nasty out, man. The whole 2 weeks we've been back, it's been got a couple of days of sun, but it rains every other 45 minutes. Gotta love it.
Yeah, I know. My question for you is, how did you guys come up with the name for the EP?
Well, actually, there's a monologue that I wrote for the song Amnesia that I was talking about. And in the monologue, we say we set out to travel upon the backs of broken angels, adopted dreams, and thrift store halos. And we ended up just being relative to that track. But when we started talking about doing the EP, it kind of felt... It felt cool because we were digging up songs that were recorded in intended for Taking to Your Leader, but we wanted to use it for this new EP. So it felt like, you know, digging up some hot new shit out of a thrift store. And then I also like the in the song, the whole meaning of Thrift Store Halos just felt cool in itself, which was, you know, that nobody's an angel. We're all reborn. We're all fucking up. You know, everybody's got their own. They're all skeletons in the closet, and you basically have to throw on a used halo at one point or another to reset the clock on yourself. So I like that as a whole. It had kind of a double meaning, and we just felt like it matched.
All right. Well, good, Creston. Chris, thank you for calling in. Much love for everybody down there in Florida. And if you're listening out there and you want to talk to, we are talking into Recognize right now. If you want to talk to him, call 347-994-3066 and press 1. We were just talking about the EP that Mayday has coming up called Thrift Store Halos, and that drops on August 7th. Make sure you pre-order that at strangemusicinc.net. Now, Rick, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about your background as an MC, because you've gotten a lot of love for your skills here on tour and for what you put down on wax. When did you decide that you wanted to be an MC?
I think it's going back to, I know I wanted to do music around, like, I was about 11, 12. I was in, like, fifth grade, about to go into middle school. And then I lightly was, like, kind of messing around with freestyles. And, like, I went to a theater school in middle school. So all during those 3 years, I was messing around with improv and doing drama. So I knew, like, I always liked the arts. My family's been into music and in theater, like, as far back as I can remember. So I knew I wanted to be in music, but I was only starting to really then just, like, grasp onto hip-hop music and really get into, like, you know, learning my foundations for that. And then around the time when I got into, like, my first year of high school is when I realized I wanted to start, like, really going hard on writing and trying to record and figure out how to get into that and break into that. So freshman year of high school, this is, like, I want to say, like, 97. I want to say it's, like, 96 or 97. So that was around the time when I really started to go in and knowing that I wanted to be an artist. You know, I wanted to be a hip-hop artist or just an artist in general.
When you made that decision, what were some of the things that you would do? What would you do to get better and just get good at it? I mean, did you study or did you just – I mean, like, what was that process like for you? Because I'm sure there was a point – I'm sorry, but I'm sure there was a point where you're like, this is where I'm at, but this is where I want to be, and these are the things I need to do to get there. What were those things?
Well, the thing is that I grew up in Hollywood. Like, when I first moved to Florida, I moved to North Miami Beach, lived in NMB for, like, a good period of time. But then when I started going to school in the States, I moved up to Broward, which is, like, it's like 20 minutes north. So I lived in a city called Hollywood. And the thing was, back then, it's changed a lot now. But back then, when we were first coming up, there wasn't, like, a lot of people in going to our schools that did music. So I was kind of like, there was only a few, and the friends that I made, we would, like, you know, we would be into music, but a lot of the shit that was going down in Miami. So you really had to make that trek and do a little 20-minute, 30-minute drive to go to some of the events. So I started trying to trek down to Miami as much as possible because, like, these circles that Burns and Plex came up in, like, were epic. Like, they had groups. These groups were putting out vinyls. Like, when I came down from high school to see what the Miami scene was like, that scene was incredible. There was nobody really doing anything in South Florida like what they were doing in these circles of Miami. So I started to get familiar with the groups and started to try to insert myself into that neighborhood, basically. So I started going to a lot of events and then just really trying to get up in the scene and network with people. And then what's cool about that is, as opposed to just sitting in your room and writing verses all the time, you get exposed to people that teach you shit that you would have never learned if you were by yourself. So I ran into people like, there's an MC down here in Miami called Serum that at the time that I met him, his cadence was ridiculous. And like, I was taking notes the first time I saw him. I was just like, dude, this guy comes in and slaughters it. Like, ridiculous. I met up with homies that I started a group with, which was H2O and Rudy Goblin, who's like a huge D-boy down here. And those two also had styles that, it was like, if I would have just stayed in my room and just, like, wrote and posted shit up online, I would have never been exposed to those styles, which I feel like attributes to what I do as an artist today, because those are my influences. So I definitely try to plug myself into the scene around me and meet as many people as possible.
Definitely. So not the lock yourself in a cabin approach. by
nah,
any means.
Even though back then it was easy, you didn't really want to do that anyways because YouTube didn't exist and like, not to sound like an old man or anything, but like the internet wasn't the same as it is now, so it was harder. You really couldn't do that. That really wasn't even an option. You had to get out there and press a vinyl or press a CD or whatever, and you know, you had to get out there anyways. But I definitely feel like, you know, nowadays if you're just doing that, it could harm you because you miss out on networking with people or being introduced to people that could heavily influence you or make you a better artist. So.
Yeah, there is something about, you know, face-to-face conversation and all that. That is
100%. Just getting out and seeing some shit and going to a jam or going to a show. Like when people are coming out to the shows, we met people on this tour all the time that were artists, that were aspiring artists that are just on the come up like we are. So it's just, you gotta, you know, get out and get some influence live. Like nothing can show you, nothing can affect you the same way as going out to see it live or, you know, being in the same room.
Well, maybe you answered my next question, but from, you know, all your years of experience, I mean, you know, 10 plus years, if you had one bit of advice to give to aspiring MCs that really actually want to do this for a living, if you had one thing to tell them, what would that be?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I always say the same shit. I feel like a broken record, but it's the longevity factor. It's just you gotta keep going. Nobody, it's like that. It's like when you get in a room with a bunch of people that are a few years older than you, everybody gives you a little bit more of a hard time because you're a younger kid. So it's like you have to earn that respect by putting years in the game. You have to get a little bit of seniority by, like, people respect you when they see you. You might give them a CD the first time and they might not hear it, but you go and you give them a CD the second time, or you hustle up that third or fourth time, and then they start to respect you a little more, and that's what gets you that listen. It's not as easy as just, like, dropping a CD in someone's hand. Sometimes it happens like that, but it's really about the persistence, man. You gotta be persistent, and then if there was one detailed fact I'd say is not to rhyme over your overdubs, just because that's a pet peeve of mine. Like, you can have vocals on a track, but I feel like a lot of people, when I just hear them and they're just getting started, they're just rhyming over their vocals, performing them live, the whole track, which always is like just a little, I've met people that are high up in the game that do that, but I always prefer to say, I don't know, that just turns me off, man. I don't fuck with that.
Are you talking about live performing?
Yeah, I'm talking about for live performance.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I know that, like, that's just, like, it happens a lot, but we don't really have that option because we're rhyming over the band anyway, so we really don't, like, I got to back Burns up and he got to back me up in that. There's no other option. There's no way for us to do that. And now we have Noms doing vocals with us too, so it's all strictly live vocals. But I just run into a lot of, like, MCs that are coming up in the game, and they don't even do, it's not just ad-libs. They do the whole, it's like they rhyme over the whole track. So
wow.
That is always, like, yeah, that's just, like, I don't know. I can't mess with that. So whenever I meet someone or I see them perform and they're like, you know, they're a younger kid coming up in the game, that's the first thing I'm always like, yo, you just don't rhyme over the track, man. Like, get an instrumental, put some ad-libs on it, cool, whatever, but don't rhyme over the full track, man. That just feels like a no-no from the jump.
Yeah, that's weird. That's just weird. Well, anyways, look, that just threw me off, like,
yeah,
thinking
sorry,
about
that. Yeah,
sorry,
I took you off on a tangent.
No, but just even, like, picturing that in my head, I was like, man, it's disorienting. What do you think is the one thing that you have done that's been the most instrumental towards your success?
That's a good question. God damn. I think this is the deep question,
last
time. Yeah, I'm, like, looking inside myself right now. I feel like I'm in the golden child. I would just say, if I, right off the top of my head, being cool with people, man, like, being humble and not having an ego. And there's a million situations I've gotten into where I could have said to somebody or talked to somebody and been like, yeah, well, I did this, or, oh, I did this, or whatever, and had an ego about something. And I try to never let that get in the way of having a good, like, personal relationship with somebody and being cool with people that you meet in the industry so that people want to fuck with you or want to help you or promote you. So I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people that I've met that have been hella talented that are just that they're dicks. So no, you don't want to help them. You don't want to support them at all because they're not cool people. So I feel like just keeping grounded and being like a normal human being and not being a dick kind of has helped me along the way because I've made strong personal relationships, and I, I wouldn't be in Mayday if I would have walked into a studio when Burns and Plex were recording and been like, yeah, whatever, son, I'll run MTV, kid, or whatever, and then, like, came in with an attitude, like some people do, I wouldn't, then they would have been like, well, fuck this guy, and then I would have never had the, you know, I wouldn't have had the route that I had and ended up in this group, so, which, you know, so that would have changed a lot of things. I think it's definitely the attitude that I've managed to keep and the respect that I've been taught growing up, that I've applied to everyone I've met, I feel has helped a great deal in forging relationships that have furthered my career.
Yeah, and I think that the attitude that you guys all bring when I talk to you and I meet you guys, it's very congruent with what has been going on at Strange before you guys were even signed. You know, it's a good union. Do you guys find that, is that an anomaly in your city? Or are you guys like, or I mean, what's the general vibe and how do you guys fit into that?
That's just rare in the game, it seems like. The first tour that we went out for all sixes and sevens with Strange, and we met all the artists there on the road, and everybody was as cool as they were, and nobody was giving us a hard time for being the new guys or whatever, and there was no real, like, you know, no egos being thrown around or whatever. Like, that's just surprising because a lot of the times that just doesn't exist anywhere else in the game where you go. You run into people that have, they either, you know, they feel threatened by a new act coming in, or they just have an ego problem, and so we were already surprised, and we felt like that lined up good with us because, you know, everyone on Strange that we've worked with to date has been cool as shit, and has been somebody that was so cool that I was like, yeah, I would go and kick it with him. That this is somebody I would go kick it with. Like, this isn't just like an associate or somebody that I met through the music business. I would go and kick it and go to barbecue and hang out with all these people. Oh, it was, my bad. That I would go and kick it with all these people, and, you know, like that helps, man. That makes the creative environment so much better. So, yeah, I feel like that's definitely an anomaly. And everyone in our crew, like, there's six of us, so that there could always be that one or two people in there that have an attitude. But luckily for us, everybody in our group as well fits in with that blueprint. And everyone in our group has always been mad respectful of fans and been real cool with everybody we meet on the road. And so that helps to, you know, gain support.
I think, you know, and that made a good initial impression. I mean, you can rewind the clock back to when you guys did your first opening slot for Tech N9ne, you know, and I talked to Scenario, and I guess he came back and said, these are the coolest, most on top of their shit, nicest opening act I've ever fucked with. So just goes to show that you can be successful and not be a dickhead in the entertainment business.
100%. It happens. It does happen.
It happens. It's happening. All right. What is the one thing? Here's a tough one for you. What is the one thing that you think you could get better at in terms of maybe your craft? Just in terms of your craft and that's for self-criticism, because I couldn't say, oh, you know what? Rec's pretty good, but he could do this. I think you're pretty 100 with it. But what's the one thing you're like, man, I really want to do this, but I haven't knocked it yet?
I would say definitely not. Don't be prank calling me, Bernie, motherfucker. Burns walks by, he's like, prank call time and shit. Now I got to watch out for the next, like, 5 callers. I would say for me personally, production, like, I definitely want to be a better beat maker. I've made beats almost as long as I've been rhyming, but I've never really pushed hard on it or tried to, like, promote it or shop beats or anything. Like, I that's something that I want to work on, and I did Last Days on the album, and then I co-produced Imprint with Plex, and so I've got a couple, and I did Blur, so I got, like, my placement starting to build up, but it's something that I want to improve at, and luckily, being around Plex, I'm able to, like, you know, I'm able to sponge up whatever I can learn from him. Which is cool. So I try to, like, that's definitely, production is like a kind of a side craft that I want to get better at. But in terms of me as an artist and vocals, I would say I'm still learning how to be a good vocalist. I feel like I still got, you always got things to learn, and I want to improve my cadence as an MC. But as a vocalist, in terms of singing and harmonies and tones, I got a long way to go. I feel like I can get way, way better. I feel like I can learn how to control my voice way better because I'm not a classically trained vocalist, and I'm not like Stevie Stone would probably say the same thing. Like, he's not a classically trained vocalist, but naturally his voice is strong. Like, it's ridiculous. So he has a great range. And then on top of that, you got Chris Calico has a ridiculous range. So I feel like I'm coming from a place as a vocalist that might not be as natural. So there are methods that I could learn to improve my range and improve, you know, my high pitches and, you know, trying to go falsetto and doing things that I want to be able to do on record that it's sometimes not about natural ability. It's more about learning the technique. So I feel like that's something that I want to improve on in the coming years, as opposed to, you know, like I got things to learn. I could sit down with a vocal coach tomorrow and learn a gang of stuff. So I think mainly in terms of that, that's where I'd be aiming at.
Looking forward to the results of that. I think maybe to us fans, to us fans at least, it was a huge surprise to hear all the singing that you did on Take Me to Your Leader. What was the response like overall in terms of your singing? I see a few tweets here and there like, oh, I recognize his voice, just makes me, you know, and all that shit.
Yeah, there was a couple last night that actually had me dying. That was pretty funny. There was like a back and forth between a couple of our good homies, that a couple of girls that were cracking me the fuck up over that. But I mean the feedback's been good, and people really seem to like my vocals, so that's dope, man. Like, that encourages me to push it further, and you know, I want people to on the next album be like, yo, he stepped it up, or he killed it, or I didn't know he could even hit like that. So it's
nice.
The feedback's been good, and it's been encouraging for the most part. So I would say that it's good. It's definitely pointing me in the right direction, I feel like.
Awesome. Yeah, keep it going, full steam. And last question is just kind of you know, shop talk, just, you know, digging into your into aspects of being an MC. Listening to a lot of your verses, what I've been noticing is you have an ability to make your delivery and the flow match the actual content of what you're saying. Like, to match the words. Like a quick line is like, I do not know this guy that you've been speaking of, you know, and it really sounds like the way you're saying it, it matches the words. That's, I mean, to me, I listen to that and I picture someone actually just saying that in conversation. Is that something that you focus on? Does that come naturally to you? Is that something that you pay attention to? Because you seem to display that ability very well.
I feel like after the amount of time that I've been rhyming, that it feels semi-natural now. It feels like a second nature. And then the thing is that we write a lot of our verses on spot. So a lot of the verses we're reading when we're rhyming them, it's very rare that we'll get the chance to memorize the verse and then record it. We're really like, sit down, vibe off it, concept, okay, cool, let's write it, knock it out, record it, then tweak it from there. And it's rare that we go back, and like a lot of times we nail it there, so we don't really get to come back and kick it while it's memorized. So sometimes it's like you would think, and it's natural, if you know it off the top of your head, you're able to really play with the intonation and the tones of it. So we don't get that luxury a lot of times because we're having to read it. So we definitely pay attention to the fact that, you know, you're reading it, you need to make sure that you're delivering the good and with conviction so that it doesn't sound like you're reading. And that, I feel like that's definitely something that's come over years. I've been writing my rhymes on phone since I had a psychic, so I'm used to already reading it and having to, like, it's second nature to just make sure that the tones and everything comes through so it doesn't sound like I'm just sitting there reading words off of the screen.
Does that kind of situation where you take something you just wrote into a booth, you might not know exactly how you're going to say it, does that tension create sort of a heightened experience on the track? You know what I'm saying? Does it translate into actually how you say it?
Yeah, most definitely. Because a lot of times if you're writing and there's more people in the room than one, you're not really going at full volume and you're kind of writing off to the side in your own head. And then there's always that iffy, like you don't know if it's going to sound on the record and out loud and on the mic. And then once you get on there and you record it for the first time, you're either met with the immediately knowing, okay, this is going to take some work, this isn't going to work at all, or fuck yeah, I nailed this shit, and it's, you know, it's gonna come across and cut through the record like I thought it would in my head. And those, no matter how long you're in the game, I feel like those always happen. There's always ones where you're gonna do a verse and like it sounded great in my head, and now it doesn't really kick as hard as I thought it did. So it definitely keeps it exciting because I feel like there's no way, no matter how long you're in the game, I feel like that never goes away. I've been all the time I've been rhyming and reading my shit while recording it, I've never felt that go away. I've always felt like there's a challenge in the beginning, and that challenge heightens you up. Like, yeah, it definitely heightens you up when you're recording.
Cool. Well, thanks for letting us pick your brain. And we're about to wrap this up. I want to give you a chance. Is there anything you want to say to the fans out there that have supported you, fans of Mayday? What would you like to say to them before we wrap
up? I just want to say we made a gangload of fans on this tour, and I think everyone who met us knows that we appreciate it to a millionth degree. Like, we're definitely not light about the love that we've been shown on the road. We met a lot of cool people, and we're not trying to, like, blow up and go to Hollywood or blow up and, like, change what we're doing. We're just trying to do what Strange has bred us for and continues to breed us for, which is make great music and do what we do and take the people along with us that have been riding with us for a long time. So we definitely appreciate the love, and I hope everybody enjoys the EP. And hopefully we'll be back out on the road soon enough so we can kick it in person.
All right. Well, Rec, I really appreciate you coming on here to do this. Just want to say you guys have been doing a great job, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate that, man. Thanks for having me. And if everybody hasn't already, we just put the trailer up for Thrift Store Halos on Strange Music Inc.'s YouTube, so check that out. I was editing that for the last couple of nights, so hopefully that'll get you hype for the EP. Holla.
All right, yeah. You heard it from the guy. Go to youtube.com/strangemusicinc. Check out that trailer for Thrift Store Halos, which you can pre-order right now on strangemusicinc.net. Make sure you do that. The EP drops. I keep missing this. August 7th. All right, Tuesday, August 7th. Next week and in the subsequent weeks until the EP drops, we're going to be having more members of Mayday. So make sure you look for that for some live podcasts. You can ask them questions, tell them they're great, tell them you love their music, whatever you want to say. We're giving you guys that chance. And I think that's all we have for today. Make sure you look forward to the pledge on Thursday. And as always, SM Live every Friday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Once again, we would like to thank Recognize for coming on to the show. And once again, make sure you pre-order Thrift Store Halos. That's available at strangemusicinc.net. Until next time, as always, keep it strange.
Strange Music.